Begin the current daf Masechta Shkalim daf Yud Zayin. Begin three lines up from the bottom of the Amud on Tezayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the new Mishnah, discussing the Mishnah from the previous daf on the Tezvav Amud Beis. So the Mishnah talks about the idea that was said that there were 13 different Hashtachavoyas, 13 different prostrations that were there in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Mishnah begins, Heichen Hayu Hashtachavoyas Eilu, where were these 13 places where they bowed down in the Beis Hamikdash? So the Mishnah tells us there were Arba Bat Safin, there were four on the northern part of the Beis Hamikdash, of the area of the Azara. The Arba Badarim, there were four in the southern area. Sholosh Bamizrach, there were three in the east. Ubeis Bamayiv, and there were two in the west. And that the Mishnah explains, Keneged Shloisha Asasharm, the Tanava Mishnah explains that with these 13 different Hashtachavoyas, which were in different places in the four different areas of the Beis Hamikdash, they correlated to the 13 different gates that were within the Azara, as the Mishnah proceeds to explain. Jeremiah, those to the south, and that is when someone would enter into the Beis Hamikdash, he would be coming in on the eastern part. So he's looking towards the west, and on his right is the north, and towards his left is the south. So by the southern part, Smuchim L'mayiv, near towards the west, which is, it would be by the other end of where he's coming in. So the first place which is where they would bow down, which is connected these 13 different gates that were there in the Azara, was called Shara Elyon, the upper gate, which is the gate that's, again, as we said, the closest towards the west by the southern part of the Azara, which that was called the Shara Elyon. After that, towards the area by Mizrach, where he's coming in, is Shahar Delik, which is the gate of the kindling, which that was the gate of that was open up to the Lishkasa Eitzim, which was the chamber where they kept the firewood, which that was the gate that where they would come into the Azara. Through there is where they would bring the Atzei Merocha. Those were the woods that were used for the fire that was on top of the Mizbeach that they would light. The third one was Shahar Becheris. Again, each one of the Sha'arim is where the Hashtachavoyis were. That's where they had made the Hashtachavoyis correlating to these 13 different Sha'aris. Third one is Sha'ar Becheris, and that's where they would bring in the Becheris, the firstborns, which they would slaughter in the southern area of the Azar, and therefore that Sha'ar was there by the south. That was the third Sha'ar. And Sha'ar Mayim, and the fourth one, which was on the southern part, was the Sha'ar Mayim, the Gate of the Water. So that the Mishnah says, "Belama the Krishmoy Sha'ar Mayim." Why was it called the Gate of the Water? And that the Mishnah gives two interpretations. Sheboy machnisin tzloiches, because it was through that gate that they would bring in a flask, and we continue on top of Yitzayim and Aleph, shal nisach ha-mayim b'chag, which was, they had, throughout the year, there was always nisachim, that there were libations pouring wine. But there was only one time a year that they would pour water on the Mizbeach, and that was on the Yom Tov of Sukkot, which is called the nisach ha-mayim, that's what the Simchas Beis HaSheiva that they had made. So since through that gate was where they brought the water, so that was called Shahar ha-mayim. But as Ben Yaakov Aymer, he gives a different interpretation, says, Boy Hamay Mefachim, through that gate is where the water trickles. Vasidin Lias Yitzin Mitachas Miftin Habais, and ultimately it will end up going out from under the threshold of the Beis Hamikdash, as the Gemara will explain lengthily in describing this nevuah, what's going to ultimately be this water that will be coming out from the Beis Hamikdash and then sweetening the waters of the world. So again, those were the four different Shi'arim that were there on the southern part of the Azar. Then the Mishnah says, Lumasim Etzav, and then we have correlating to those four on the south, there were four gates on the north, which starting again, Smuchim Amarav, the one closest towards the west, which is the furthest part away if you're entering into the Beis HaMikdash, was, which is the fifth gate that we're talking about, is Shar Yechanya. The sixth one was Shahar Karban, the gate of the Karban, which is from there they would bring in the Kachay Kachim, the holiest types of Karbanas, which they were slaughtered in the north. Again, that's why that Shar was there in the north, called the Shahar Karban. The seventh one is Shahar HaNoshim, the gate of the women. That is where the women would enter to do smicha, to lean on their karbanas. And the eighth one was Shahar Shir, which is the fourth one of the north, which is called the gate of the song. And that is through that gate is where they would bring in the clay shir, the different musical instruments that the Levim would use to sing the songs that they would sing by the karbanas. That was called the Shahar Shir. Now the Mishnah goes back to explain the fifth Shahar, which was the first one we described in the north, which is closest to the west. Why was that gate called the Shahar, the gate of Yechanya? So now the Mishnah says, because that is where the Yechanya went out on his journey to Galus, and that is he went into the Beis HaMikdash to, so to speak, depart and take leave from the King of all kings, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he took permission to go out into exile, and from that gate is where King Yechanya left from, so that was called Shahar Yechanya. So that's so far eight of the gates. Shebe Mizrach, the gates in the east, are the ninth one is Shar Nikanor, the gate of Nikanor, which the Gemara in Yuma explains lengthily the whole story to explain these gates, that the doors that Nikanor had brought, which that was called the Shar of Nikanor. Ushne Peshpeshim Hayulai. Now there were two smaller gates inside the larger gates, which these two smaller gates are also part of the 13 Sha'arim. Now, as Tikkun Chatzin explains, although that there was a smaller Shar, a smaller pishpish for the Shar of Beis HaMoikin, that wasn't counted because that was very small. However, these two weren't that small, and therefore these two pishpishim, Echad Mimin, and one was to the right of the Shar Nikanor, the Echad Mesmeh, one's towards the left part of it, that makes to the total of 10 and 11, now we're by 11. And then, Bishnai B'mayav, then there were two gates, two Sha'arim, two entryways in the western part of the Azara, which makes it to 12 and 13. V'lo ha'yil and shem, those didn't have any names, those were behind the area of the Kachet Kachim. That makes for a total of 13 different sha'arim that they were there in the Azara, and correlating to those sha'arim are the 13 different hashtachavayis that they were instituted to make hashtachavayis to bow down by those 13 different areas. So the Gemara comments on this that Masnin, our Mishnah, that said that the 13 different hashtachavayis, the 13 different places where they would bow down, correlated to the 13 gates that were in the Beis HaMikdash in the Azara, Abba Yosef ben Yochanan, it goes according to his opinion, Dama, as he says at the end of the second paragraph of Masechtas Midas, Keneged Yidgul Masharim, that the 13 different Hashtachavayis correlate to the 13 different gates that they were there in the Azara. Baram, however, the Gemara tells us, Kirabanan, according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, they obviously argue on this opinion. And this is the anonymous Mishnah that is in the first paragraph of Masechtas Midas, that the Rabbanan say, Shiva Sharim Hoy Bazar, there were only seven gates, seven entryways into the Azara, and therefore obviously they argue in this interpretation of the 13 Shtachavayis correlating to the 13 Sharm, because they hold there were no 13 Sharm, there were only 7 Sharm. So the Gemara asks, so Al-Dastra Rabbanan, according to the opinion of Rabbanan, Heichen Hayu Shtachavayis Halalu, so where were they, these 13 different bowing downs that the 13 should correlate to if there weren't even 13 gates? So that the Gemara answers, Kehidat Tanina Taman, like a Mishnah that we learned over there, Masechtas Midas, that tells us that Yidgum Paratzes Hayuba, there were 13 different breaches that were in the Sairik, which is one of the different mechitzes that they were there in the Azara. Sheparts and Malchayavan that the king, the Greek kings had breached. And then the sons of the Chashmonaim, in the famous story of Chanukah, they went and then they restored, they closed up the breaches that were there in the Sairik. Because they're connected in Yigim HaShachavayis and correlating to those 13 different restorations of the breaches that were there and that the Chashmonaim had done, so that is where they had instituted the 13 HaShachavayis relating to that. Now the Gemara continues, now once it mentioned the 13 different breaches that the Greek kings had breached, so the Gemara goes into a drasha of the Churban. Now, since our Mishnah is like Abba Yaisu, who said that the 13 different Hishtachavayis, the bowing downs, correlate to the 13 different Sharm in the Beis HaMikdash. So first they bring a Ganagadita that relates to the Beis HaMikdash, and specifically, as we said, one of them is the Shahar Mayim. And according to the Rabbanan, that they say the 13 different breaches, the Gemara ultimately will explain later on this Amid, that relate to the different ideas of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which is one of the things that happened when the Yevanim came and they made the 13 different breaches. So the Gemara begins quoting a pasuk in Zechariah that says, Ksiv, it says in the pasuk, again, this relates, as we said, to this Shahar Mayim, which according to the interpretation of Melez Ben Yaakov, that there's water that trickles out from the area of the Beis HaMikdash, starting from the Kachet Kachim, which La'asad Lavei, it's going to be something of greater magnitude. So it says in the pasuk, V'hoye Bayim, who it's going to be on that day, Yitzu Mayim Chayim Yerushalayim V'goymer, that there will be live water that will be coming out from Yerushalayim. So Tani, we learned in the Braisa, that explains as follows. Mi base Kachet Kachim ad Pareches, starting from the holiest of the holies until the Pareches, which separates the Kachet Kachim from the Heichel, it starts off small, then it gets bigger and bigger. It starts off Kekarnei Silai Vichilai, like the antennas of these different types of snails, which they have very thin antennas. Min Pareches ad Mizbech Azav, when it continues going further out from the curtain until the golden altar, which is in the Heichel, is Kekarnei Chagavim, gets a little thicker, like the antennas of grasshoppers. Then when it goes from the golden altar until the courtyards, then it becomes kechut shel shesi, like the thread of warp thread. Min hazaris ad miftin habayis, when it goes from the courtyards until the threshold of the Beis HaMikdash, kechut shel arv, then it becomes like the woof thread, which is a little bit thicker than the warp thread. Mikan ve'elech k'mipi hapach. From here on, when it continues going out, it keeps on getting stronger and stronger. It's like being poured out from the opening of a flask, which is going to be wider and stronger than it was up until now. So continuing on regarding these waters that come out from the Beis HaMikdash going out to the world. So Ksiva says a pasuk in Yechezkel, v'hine mayim efachim na'kosef ha'yamon. Now there was water that was trickling out from the right shoulder, which is a reference to the southern area. B'tzeis ha'ish kodem, when the man was going out towards the east, v'kav b'yod, they had a calf in his hand, v'yomod elef ba'ama, then he measured 1,000 amas, and then he passed me through the water, which the water had reached, as the Gemara explains, ar karsula, up until the ankles. Again, this is this vision that Yechezkel is talking about, and it relates to these waters that are coming out from the Beis HaMikdash. So we see that the waters are getting stronger and stronger and wider and wider. So when he passed him through, it was up until his ankles. Then the pasuk continues, b'yomet elef, then he measured 1,000 amas, again he passed me through the water. May brachayim. On that the Gemara explains, ad brachayim, now it was up to his knees. V'yaman elf, again he measured 1,000 amas. V'yavirenim mesnayim, which is ad mesnayim, now it was up to his waist. Mikam ve'elech, from here on, after that, v'yaman elf, he measured 1,000 amas, was nachala shalai uchalaver. It was already a river that I couldn't pass. Now, afil lebiron gedayla, what that means is even for large ships, but it couldn't pass through that river. So again, although it passed small in the beginning, but it gets bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger. Now, my time, what's the reason that even large ships couldn't pass through? So as the pasuk in Yeshaya says, "Vitzi adur lo yavirena," as it says that a mighty vessel can't pass it. Neima, why? As the pasuk says, "Ki go hamayim meisachu," because the waters became nizgoya, they became mighty and strong. Meisachu. Now, mahu meisachu. What does it mean, meisachu? So it means miloshut. It became water that didn't allow them to even swim. You couldn't swim because the waters were too, the current was too strong. As the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Chuna, Ba'asin, in our place, Kar L'Shayata, they call swimming, Sachvana. That's where it says, Mesachu, Sachvana, means a reference to swimming. It was waters that were too strong, the current, to be able to swim. Now it also says, Uferes Yodav Bekirboy, that he stretched out his hand from within, Kashi Yeferes Hasaycha L'Shayat, like the swimmer stretches out his hands to swim. Now, mahu lischis, what does it mean, lischis? So then the Gemara brings a drasha, Rabbi Yesi, Berebon. These waters are mayin de mesemalin b'yalma. There are waters that the entire world talks about. And that's what the word of lischis comes from, the word of sicha, of talking. Now, it either means because everyone's going to talk about it, it's going to become so well known because of these waters. That's what it means, the world talks about it. Or it means, as the Gemara later on will explain, that these waters had healing properties, which means to say that it's going to cause people to talk, because it's those who are mute and they weren't able to talk, once they drink the waters, they'll be able to talk. That's what it means, demis malam alma, it's going to cause people to be able to talk. And that's because that these waters had great spiritual powers, as it says in the Medrash, that in the beginning, that Hashem's praise was only from the water, as it says, Nas Naharas Kailam. And these waters had greater Kedusha than even all of them, and that's what it means, the Mismal and Bialma, that it will heal even people that weren't able to speak. Now, continuing on this Nachal, again, that emanates from the Kachet Kachim going out to the world. So it says a pasuk in Zechariah, Bayemahu, on that day, Yi Mekor Niftach Lebeis David Uliyesh Rishlam, there will be a source, an opening that will open for the household of David and for the dwellers of Yerushalayim, lechatos ulnida, that can be used for mechatos, which are have to be that those are like the waters of the paraduma that are for chatos and for nida, and for a woman that's in nida, it's for purification waters. So that the Gemara explains, Reb Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Reb Yenison, he's bothered by a question, and that is, what do you mean? It's only kosher for Beis David and for those who live in Yerushalayim, and not for the other people of the entire Jewish people. It's not going to be kosher. So rather, he says that it's giving a simin, the pasuk, and it's saying that the source is going mi Beis David v'ad Yerushalayim. It's saying the direction of where it's going from. Of course, everyone could use it for chatas and venida. It just means it would come out from Beis David, from the Beis HaMikdash, until the dwellers of Yerushalayim. Then k'shem l'nidah l'chatas. In that area is where it's kosher still for both menida and for chatas. But once it would continue further past the air, may taruvas, and then the waters would already be mixed with other things. And then kshem lanida, then it would be still fit for a nida to go ahead. and immerse in that. However, upsul mechatas then it would already be invalid for mechatas because that is, as the pasuk tells, has to be mayim chayim, has to be pure, unadulterated, pure live waters, and that's not going to be because it's going to be mixed with other things, and that's why we're saying meis david until Anshir Yerushalayim, because past that it can't be used for mechatas anymore. Amr Belazar Belazar says a different opinion. He says, "Mebeis David vad Yerush of Yerushalayim." He says, "You're right. From Beis David until those dwellers of Yerushalayim, Kshem lenidu lachatas, it's fit for nidem lachatas." But Mekamve Elich, he says, "Are me katafrias hain." He says, "Then they're like katafrias means when something's on the slope, when it's coming down from a high point and sloping down, the water gets stronger and stronger when it comes down. Then after Anshe Yerushalayim." Then it's already invalid, not just for chatas, but he says it's going to be invalid even for a nida. Even a nida cannot go ahead and immerse herself with those waters that are not pooled together, but rather sloping down the slope when it's leaving Yerushalayim. So now the Gemara continues, and it darshens the Pesukim of Yecheskel that we brought before, again, talking about the nyanim of the different waters that we mentioned and the different seas that surround Eretz Yisrael. So Ksiva says a pasuk in Yecheskel, the Yomer Allah, and he said to me, Hamayim ha'elo yoytzim el ha'galila ha'kadmoinim. These waters, again, we're talking about these waters that come out of the Beis HaMikdash, these waters are going out to the eastern Galilee. So that the Gemara says, Zeyam shel Samchu, that's a reference to the Sea of Samchu, which there were seven seas that surrounded Eretz Yisrael. And he's expounding that the eastern Galilee, which Yam is that? That's the Yam of Samchu, which was close to the Galil. Then it says, V'yordu, and the Gemara says, Al ha'arava, that went down until the plain. Zeyam shel Tveri, that's a reference to the Yam of Tveri, which is a reference to the Kinneret. It says, Ubo ha-yama, then it came to the sea. What's the sea? Zeyam ha-melech, that's a reference to the Dead Sea. Then it says, El ha-yama ha-mutsam, it went out to the expanding sea. Zeh ha-yama gadol, that's a reference to the Yam ha-gadol, which is a reference to either the Mediterranean or to the Echinus, which is all the waters of the world, which from that's how people enter Eretz Yisrael from the different Medinas. Now, but Lama Nikra Shmei Mutzam, why is this water, that most of the waters of the world, the ocean water, why is that called Mutzam, that it goes out, it expands? So on that, the Gemara says, Keneged Shtei Pam Shiyatz, because that's a reference to the two times that the waters expanded and went beyond their boundaries, which is Echad B'der Enish. Once was in the generation of Enish, which there was somewhat of a flood. Echad B'der HaFloga, one time was in the generation of the dispersion of the Der HaFloga. As the Gemara explains that Rabbi Lazar B'Shem B'Chanina, he says, B'Rishayna, the first time, which was in the generation of Enish, Yotza Ad Calabria. There was a flood that flooded the waters up until Calabria, which is in Italy. U'B'Shniya Yotza, and the second time, which in the times of the Der HaFloga, it was Ad Kefei Barbaria. It was up until the coast of Barbaria, which is somewhere in North Africa. That's one interpretation. Rabbi Acha B'Shem Reb Chanina, he says, now, B'Rishayna, the first time, was Yatsad Kipe Barbaria, went up until the coast of Barbaria. U'B'Shniya, Yatsad Akoi V'Ad Yafoi. And the second time, it went up until the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, of Akoi and Yafa, as the Pasuk says in Eiv, Ad Pai Savai Veloi Saisev, that up until here you're going to come, which is a reference to those waters of the ocean that had expanded and went out and flooded parts of the world. Veloi Saisev, and you won't go anymore. And that's what the Gemara is darshaning, that the word Pai, like the word Kai, so Akai, up until Pai, which is the word Akai, up until here and no more. And that is Ad Akai Tavai Veloi Saisev, up until Akai you're going to come and no more. And that's because that was the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, so it wasn't flooding Eretz Yisrael. And the same thing applies to Yafa, as it says in the pasuk, Ufoy Yashis Begoin Galecha, that up until here you're going to flaunt the majesty of your waves. That's Ad Yafa. It says Pai is the word Yafa. Up until Yafa, Yashis Begoin Galecha, that's up until where you're going to have the majesty of your waves. So those are the two different interpretations. How far were the floods? But that's why it's called Mutzayim, because there were two different times in the world, by the Der Enish and the Der HaFloga, when the waters had flooded parts of the world. So now the Gemara explains from what we had spoken about, that these waters come out and they heal and they sweeten the waters of the world coming out from the base of Migdash. So that the Gemara asks, so Nicha Yama Rabba V'Yama D'Milcha, we understand that the water of this Mayan, of this fountain that came out from under the base of Migdash, it had to come out up until the Great Sea and the Yam HaMelech, because those are salty and foul type of waters, and therefore, B'Shvil HaMitkin, so we needed these waters to go ahead and sweeten them. However, Yamadit Tavarya, Yamadit Samchu, why did the waters of this Mayan that came out from under the Beis HaMikdash have to come to the Kinneret and the Yam, the Samchu? Why did those waters need it? They're not foul, they're fresh, they're sweet waters. Why do we need those waters to have the Mayan come to them? So that the Gemara answers, L'rabbis Degasam, that was to increase the fish in those seas. Those were increased through the waters of the fountain coming out from under the Kachikachim. That's why they reached up until there. The Chsiv Beza says in the Pasuk in Yecheskel, Lemina Tia Degasam, that according to their species will be their fishes, which the drush is, Lemina Minim Tia Degasam, amongst the multitude of their species will be their fishes, because the word Lemina is extra word. But rather, it's coming to say that there will be Mina Minim, that because there will be a multitude, there will be an increasing of all the fishes because of this water that will reach up until the Yam of Samchu and the Kinneret. So the Gemara says that similarly today, Tanya Lutin Abraisa, even in our current days, Zomer Shem Gamliel says, Maisa Shalachti Litzaiden, that there was a time of that incident that went to Tzaiden. Viviu Lafana Yasi Mishalish Meis Mini Dogum Betamcha Echad, and brought me more than 300 different types of fish. A one platter, and that's the idea that there will be an increasing in the times of Lasa Lava, you have that many different types of mini-minim of fish in those seas. Now, it says over there in the Pasuk in Yecheskel, V'nirpo ha-mayim, that the waters will be healed, they'll be sweetened. Bitzaisav ugvav, its swamps and its pools, v'lo yirafu, and they won't be healed. L'melch nitana, rather they'll be used for salt. So the Gemara asks, Ksiv, on the one hand, the Pasuk says, V'nirpo ha-mayim, the waters will be sweetened. Now, and then you go on and you say, V'lo yirafu ha-mayim, that the water will not be sweetened. How do we understand the Pasuk? So that the Gemara says, Makamhu, there is one place, Ushmoi Veloi Rafa, and its name is it's called Veloi Rafa, that it won't be healed, and that is that one place was where they had used for salt, that there the holy waters didn't reach to. But yes, all the waters it went to and it healed. There was one place that they used for salt, and therefore the waters didn't get there, and they were able to use it to that it shouldn't be sweetened and to be able to take salt from there. Now it says over there in the Pasuk, Siv, Valhanachal Yala Asafasa, that the river will go up on, it went up on its edges, Mizea Mizea on both sides, Kol Eitz Machal, there were all different types of fruit trees, Leibul Alehu, its leaves will not wither, Leitim Pira, its fruits will not cease, Lechadoshav Yivakar, that according to its months will be the new crop. And then there's the end of the pasuk which the Gemara will dash on. So it's neat. We learned in the Braisa an explanation of this, what this is going to be, Lasa Lava. What does it mean, L'chadosh of Yevaker, that its new crop will come according to the months? So Amr Yehuda says, L'fisha bo'ilm hazeh, since in our current status in this world, Tvua ois l'shish chadoshim, it takes crop, a grain crop, 6 months to come to fruition. Ve'ilon ois l'shneim asachedish, and for a fruit tree, for the fruits to come out, it takes 12 months. But in the future, the grain crop is only going to take 1 month. And the fruit trees are going to take only 2 months. My time, what's the reason? As we just said in the pasuk, the new crop will come out according to its months, which is the smallest amount of plural of its months is 2 months. And that's talking about fruit trees. And therefore, just like we know in our current status, that the grain crop takes half of that. So therefore, in Lasa Lavai, it's going to be only 1 month, because since fruits, which are double of the grain, is going to be 2 months, so therefore, the grain's only going to require 1 month. So Amr Biesi, however, a different interpretation, Rabbi Yasi says, Fisha ba'olam hazeh, since in this world, hatvu oisa l'shish chadashim, the grain crop takes 6 months, ve'ilan oisa l'yod b'schaydish, and a fruit tree takes 12 months, av Lasa Lavai, but in the future, hatvu oisa l'tesvav yayim. The grain crop is only going to take 15 days. Ve'ilan and the fruit tree, Eis l'chedesh echad, will take 1 month. Shekim etzinu, because we find such a thing, she'asatvu b'mei yayel l'chamish asayim, that the grain crop in the days of Yayel took only 15 days. Ve'karv mimeno ha'imer, and from there is where they brought the carbon ha'imer. And therefore, since we find that this is a miraculous way, but it's possible, and therefore, Lasa Lavai, that's going to be the nature of the world. So therefore, it's going to be 15 days, and what's going to be double of that is going to be a fruit tree, which is going to be 1 month. Now, my time, what's the reason? Where do we find this, that there was 15 days for the grain crop? It says a pasuk in Yoel, Uvenei Tzion, and those who lived in Tzion, Gilu v'simcha b'Hashem l'kechem, rejoice and be happy with Hashem your God, ki nosan lechem esamar l'tzdaka, because He gave you the Meira, either it means the early rains, or the teacher for tzedakah, for righteousness, V'yared lechem geshem, and he brought the rain down, Meiru u'malkish, the early and the late rains, berishain, in the first month, that of Nisan, and that is the rain came down. And then it says, v'simcha b'Hashem, that you should rejoice with Hashem. That's a reference to bringing up the Karban Omer, which was on the 15th day. So we see that it took 15 days from when the rain started till it came out, and therefore the grain crop only took 15 days. Now, but that the Gemara asks, so fine, so you see that it's 15 days for the grain, therefore double that for the tree, so it's going to be 1 month for the tree. But umamakayim Rabbi Yisi l'chadosh vivaka, what does he do with the pasuk of the first interpretation in the Gemara, and that it which says that the fruit trees are going to take its months, which is plural, it's going to have the new crop, the new grain, the new fruits of the tree, and not 1 month. So that he says, b'chol chaydish v'chaydish yim evaka, means to say, the months of the world, of the year, in other words, every month will have a new fruit, a new crop of fruits coming out on the tree, but it doesn't mean it's months of each one of the new fruits. Rather, it means from the months of the year, each month will have new fruits coming out of it. So again, those are two different interpretations. Either it's going to be 15 days for grain and 1 month for the fruits, or it's going to be 1 month for the grain and 2 months for the fruit. Now the pasuk over there says Nicheskel v'alehu l'tshufa, that its leaves will be for healing. So now the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan Amar says tarfei matzitz ale. Its tariff, as the pasuk says, will be that someone will suck its leaf, and that's because usraf, the word trufa, which is what we're saying. How do you get the trufa? Is by sucking its leaves. Means mizaina. It means its sustenance, and that's because the word tariff with a tough is the same word as tariff with a tess, which tariff means a lashon of mizainus, and then that's what the pasuk is explaining. Now, how are you going to get its mizainus, its sustenance? That's what is explaining, that you suck the leaf, and that will give the sustenance for the person. That's what it means, v'aleu l'trufa, that its sustenance will be by someone sucking its ale, its leaf. Now, that the Gemara gives Rav Shmuel two interpretations of what is this trufa. What is this healing property, the sustenance that comes from sucking the leaf? Chadama one says, which is a contraction of the word of the trufa, breaking it down, lahatr peh, which is trufa, it opens up the mouth, shalamalan, the upper mouth. And that is the Archa explains, it means say it'll give someone an appetite to eat. V'chadamo, the other opinion says, lahatr peh shalamatna, it'll open up the lower mouth. It means to say that if someone is constipated, it'll help him go relieve himself. So it's either opening up the upper mouth or it's opening up the lower opening. Reb Chanin, Reb Shuban Levi, they give similar but different type of interpretations for the upper mouth and for the lower mouth. Chadamo one says that the word trufa that's going to be from these leaves, that's going to be lasad lavai, lahatr peh akaris, it opens up the lower mouth, but it's a reference to the opening of the womb for a woman that cannot have childbirth. That if she has these leaves, she sucks these leaves, that'll help her have children. Chadam, and the other one says that it's opening up the upper mouth, but it's not to have an appetite to eat, but rather lahatr peh ilmim, it opens up the mouths of the mute, and that we had referenced this earlier on the Amid. It means to say that it's going to help people that couldn't speak to be able to talk. Now the Gemara continues with our Mishnah, that it said ulumasin batzafin v'chulu, that correlating to the four gates that we had on the south, so there were four gates on the north. Now again, as we had mentioned before, that since we mentioned the 13 different breaches that the Greek kings had breached, so now the Gemara brings a drasha regarding the churban, again, which relates to the different interpretations of why we had the 13 different ashtach havayis that were in the Beis HaMikdash, that we had in our Mishnah. One opinion was because of the different certain sharm, but then we had the opinion of the Rabbanon, that they said there were only 7 sharm, so it's relating to the 13 different breaches that the Yevana made, that the Chasam Noam had then been magder. So now the Gemara talks about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says that at Maitza you find that B'shosh al Nebuchadnezzar came, when Nebuchadnezzar came, and that is Nebuchadnezzar came to take Yehoyachan, who he had made king in place of Yehoyakim, his father. And then his advisors told him that he should even now take down Yehoyachan. So it says that when Nebuchadnezzar came, he went and he settled in the outskirts of Antuchia, which is in current-day Turkey. And then the great Sanhedrin went to greet Nebuchadnezzar. And they said to him, is it time for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? Why do you come here? So Amalai, and he said to them, that person, that was a reference to Hayachan, that I went and made him king over you, meaning when I took away his father, Yayakim, and I put him, given me, my advisor telling me that I should even take him now and take him down from being king. And then I'll leave. So they came and they told to Yochan, the king of Judea, Nebuchadnezzar boyalach, Nebuchadnezzar wants you. So kivin sheshama mehenkach, so once he heard this from them, so not l'mavtechesh al-beis ha-migdash, he went and he took the keys of the beis ha-migdash, al-l'gagash, went up to the roof of the sanctuary of the beis ha-migdash, am-l'fanav, he said in front of Hashem, Rebbein Shalom, master of the world, l'sha'avar hayin neman l'cha, in the past we used to be faithful to you, and therefore your keys were given over to us, we were trustworthy. But now that we're not trustworthy, so here your keys are for you, you can take them back. So the Gemara says, train Amaron. There's two different interpretations of the Amaron. Chadama, one says, Zarkon v'oyla yardu. He threw them up and they never came back down. In other words, to show that from Shemaim they agreed to him that they're not trustworthy anymore. Chadama, the other one says, Bo kemin yad v'netlasim yadei. Not that he threw it up, but actually a hand came down from heaven and took it away from him to show that, yes, we don't want you anymore serving in the base of Mikdash. So the Gemara tells us, Kivin Shiro, Kol, and we continue on to the base. Once all the Chure Yehuda came, once all the noblemen of Judea saw this, and that as they saw that from Shemaim, they agreed that we don't want anymore the Avodah in the base of Mikdash, that we're taking away the keys from the Jewish people. So all L'Resh Gagay Sehen, so they went up to the top of their roofs, V'naflu Mesu, and they fell and they died. So Hadahudik said, this is what it says in the Pasuk Yeshaya, that says, Masa Gei Chazoyin. This is the prophecy of the Valley of the Vision, which is a reference to Yerushalayim. That Malach Eifoy, what have you gained? Where are you? Ki Olis Kulach Lagagas, that all of you went up to your roofs. Teshuas Malaya, Irhumiyah, Vagaymer, this tumultuous, this busy city of Yerushalayim. And now, there are no more that you went up, and then all the noblemen have died and passed on. Now the Gemara continues to the next Mishnah, Halacha Gimel. And this is a continuation also of the first Mishnah, which mentioned all these different things in the Beis HaMikdash. So we had mentioned the 13 different Shulchanis, that the 13 different tables that were in the Beis HaMikdash. So in that, our Mishnah elaborates on that. Yud Gimel Shulchanis HaBeMikdash, there were 13 different tables in the Beis HaMikdash. Ches Shel Shayish, so 8 of them were made out of marble, and they were Beis HaMikdash, they were in the place of the butchering house. Shaleim Medichin the Sakrivim, and the purpose was that they would wash off the intestines on these tables, and also they would skin and they would cut up the pieces of the animals there. But the more prominent feature of them were that they were washed off over there, and that's where they would be left until they would be sacrificed. So that were 8 of the tables. Ubeiz b'mayiv hakevish. Then there were 2 other tables that were on the western part of the ramp. Echad shel shayish v'echad shel kesef. One of those tables were made out of marble, and one of them was made out of silver. As the Mishnah explains, Al Shoshayish Nisnes Devarim, on the marble one, was where they would put the limbs. That is, after they would cut up, and they organized over there the limbs up until the Kohen would bring them up onto the top of the Mizbeach. Val Shal Kesef Klesharis, and the silver one that was there on the western part of the ramp, was made out of silver. That was meant for the Klesharis, for the different utensils that they would take out every morning, as the Mishnah Masechet Tumah explains, and they would put it and organize it on that table. Then there were Ubeiz B'ulam. There were 2 in the antechamber, which was the opening before you came into the Heichel. Mibifnim, on the inside, Al Pesach Habayis, by the opening of the Beis HaMikdash. Echad Shel Shayish, Echad Shel Zav. One of those tables were made out of marble, and one of them is made out of gold, as the Mishnah explains. Al Shel Shayish, Nisn Lechem Apan Bichnisasi. The one made out of marble was where they would put the Lechem upon the showbreads, which were organized, the 12 breads that they were from Shabbos to Shabbos. That which was the famous shulchan that's mentioned in the Torah inside the Heichel. So that's where they would organize it and put it there on their way in, bringing it in. And then there was a golden one that which was in the ulam, which was in the antechamber, which was when they were coming out with the lechem upon them, which is then they would put it down on that golden one. And the reason is shemal mekodesh v'lem yiridin, because of the famous concept of that we only elevate in sanctity and we don't demote, and therefore when they were going in it was only marble, but when they were coming out it would be elevated to a gold table, and that's why it was first marble then gold. And then achad shel zav mebifnim, then there was the famous shulchan which was the one of gold in the inside in the heichol sha'olav lechem upon tama, that is where the lechem upon shobrids were always there, and that is they would take from Shabbos to Shabbos bringing the new ones and then take off the old ones. So now the Gemara explains this that we learned in the Mishnah, that the one going inside for the lechem upon them was made out of marble, and then the one coming out was made out of gold. So Tani, we learned in the Braisa that Al Shel Kesef, a different pshat than our Mishnah, that the one going in was silver and the one coming out was gold. However, it still keeps to this concept, to this idea of that Ma'ala Mekodesh V'Lema Ridin, because silver is still lower than gold, but it's not marble. The Bryce's opinion was that it was silver and then gold. However, the Gemara says, Reb Yisib Shem Reb Shmuel Barav Yitzchak, and Reb Hanan Yematiba, he says his name, B'Shem Reb Yechanan, the less Kanshal Kaz, but it's not true. It couldn't have been that the one of the Lechem Panim going in was made out of silver, Nishu Martiach, because silver heats up, makes things warm. And rather, it must be like our Mishnah said, that it was made out of marble, because if it heats it up, the bread's going to get warm, and it's going to cause it to become moldy. And therefore, obviously, it was not silver, and it was like our Mishnah's pshat, that it was made out of marble. Well, that the Gemara asks, but Leikin Tani, didn't we learn in the Braisa that Ze'echad min ha'nisim shenasa b'Beis HaMikdash? This is one of the miracles. There were many miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. But one of the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash was, Shekashem shehoyim anichin oisichem, just like they left the bread hot, because they had baked it before they put the bread on the shulchan, when they came a week later to take off the bread, they found it warm. Like it says the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, lasum lechem chayim b'yom lakhay, to place hot bread on the day that they're taking, and that is the day they took it was as hot as the day that they put it down. So what are you saying, that they wouldn't put on the silver table when they're putting it in because it heats up? What do you mean it was hot the whole week and it didn't become moldy? It was fresh. That was a miracle. So what would be the problem about putting it on a silver table going in? So that the Gemara said, Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar, he answers, Emas Kirin Maisen Nisim. We don't mention miracles. And that is our obligation, although there were many miracles. We have to do it the way Teva defines nature, and we have to go according to those laws. And therefore, we couldn't have used silver tables. It had to be marble, because silver would make it spoil, it would heat it up. Now, although, yes, it was hot, but that was a miracle, and we don't go according to miracles. So relating to this, of the Lechem upon them, the Gemara says, Boyin Kumi Reb Ila. They asked the following question from Reb Ila. If let's say there was no bread to go ahead and put on for this new Shabbos, every Shabbos they would put on new breads. What is the halacha? Could they leave the bread on another week so that by that time they'll have new bread to put on, because you can't leave the shulchan without bread. Every week it would be taken off. We don't take it off because we don't have bread to put on. Could we leave it for another week and then go ahead and then take it off and then put on new bread? Now, the question is based on, because we're talking about kosher lechem upon them, that we're not possible. The question is, if you leave it for the coming week, are we going to say that it will not become puzzle with what's called lina, when you leave things over the designated time that they're supposed to be eaten, then there's a psul of lina? Do we say the same thing applies even to something that was organized kilchasai, according to his laws? And that's because, although there's halacha that when something is puzzle, which let's say if you had lechem upon that was puzzle, that it seems like it would be obvious that if it was left on, it wouldn't be puzzle, just like we have bereshit shamas beach. But the question is here, now that it's kosher, maybe it would be worse in the sense of then it would become puzzle according to the halachas of lina. Or would we say not? And that's the question, can we leave it another week and that it won't become puzzle, that it, although it's being left over its designated time of when it's supposed to be consumed? So he said to us, Rabbi Ila said, Kisev, it says in the pasuk in Shemais, V'nesata al ha-shulchan lechem panim, you should put on the table the showbreads, lefan aitam, in front of me constantly. And that is, constantly means to say, even for many days, it could stay there, which is the drushes, lechem panim, the showbreads, I feel a pasuk, even if it's invalid, and that is, even the ketchil, you could leave it on there for many days, because the pasuk is obviously talking about that when it wasn't pasul, that it was put on according to how it's supposed to be put on, as it says in the pasuk, when the sata lechem, you'll put on the bread, and that's obviously kosher bread, and still it says, it should be in front of me, tamid. That's coming to teach that you're allowed to leave on the bread, like ketchila, and it will not become pasul belina. So not only by pasul bread, but even in a way that would normally invalidate, in a way by leaving it on longer than it's supposed to be and it won't be eaten, it still will not become possible by lina, and you can leave it on for that extra week. Now the Gemara quotes a brisa regarding to the shulchanis that we were speaking about. Asar shulchanis asa shlema. So Shlema Melech made 10 different, besides these 13 tables that we're talking about in the Beis HaMikdash, he made related to the one shulchan hazav that was in the heichal, that which was related to the showbreads, he made 10 different tables. The sort of like says the pasuk in Divrei Yamim Beis. Vayas shulchanes asari, he made 10 tables. Vayonach beichel, and he put them in the heichel. Chamisha mimin, 5 on the right side. Behem is small, and 5 on the left side. Now the Gemara explains. In Tamar, if you're going to say that chamisha bedarim, behem betzafin, when it says that he put five to the right and five to the left. It means to say of the opening of the Heichal, when you come in to the sanctuary, which you had the Mizbeach HaZav, and you had the Menorah, and you had the Shulchan, that they were, so you had the Shulchan HaZav, which was the bread. And related to that, Shlomo HaMelech made a greater honor by making these 10 different tables. So you had five to the right and five to the left. If it means five to the right of the Heichal and five to the left of the Heichal, which means to say that there were five in the south, which is the left side, and five in the north, but it can't be because the Shulchan, the table, which now Shlomo HaMelech has 11 of them, is only kosher in the north. Shlomo HaMelech says in the Pasuk in Shemos, Shulchan titan, I'll sell itself, and that the table was put on the northern part. And since the opening of the Heichal was in the middle, from when you're coming in from the eastern part, so it comes out that the five tables that are on the left from where you're coming in are all in the south. And that's not kosher. They have to all be on the north. So if so, matam aloy mechamish mimin mechamish mislo. So what does it mean that there were five to the right and five to the left? Elo, rather, what it means is chamish mimin shulchan shel Moshe vechamish mislo. It means to say that there were five of his tables were towards the right of the original shulchan that Moshe Rabbeinu had made, and there were five to the left of the one that Moshe Rabbeinu had made, and all these 10 tables were in the northern part of the heichal. However, afal pikein, although there were these 10 more tables, lahayim esader, they wouldn't organize the lechem upon them el b'shal Moshe b'vav. They only put it on that table that Moshe Rabbeinu had made. Shenem, like it says a pasuk in Malachim Aleph, esar shulchan asher olav lechem upon them. There was the table that on it was the lechem upon them. That's in the singular to say that only the table that Moshe Rabbeinu made was where they put the lechem upon. However, Rabbi Yehuda, he argues and he says, "Al kul nayim esader," and they would put the lechem upon them on all the tables. Shenem, like it says the pasuk in Divrei Yamin Beis, esal shulchanos va'aleihem lechem upon them, that they were the tables and on them the plural were the lechem upon them, and therefore his opinion is that they were on all the different tables. Now, Tani, we learned in the Braisa regarding these tables, these 10 tables that Shlomo HaMelech had made. We have a machlekes. The first opinion says mizrachu ma'ariv ha'inasun, that the tables went from east to west. Divrei Rebbe, that's the opinion of Rebbe. Blaza Bei Reb Shimon Omer, he says tzafim v'darim ha'inasun. They went from north to south. So now the Gemara concludes this machlekes with a question on one of the opinions. So man da'amim mizrachu ma'ariv nicha. According to the opinion that of Rebbe that said that it went from east to west, and that is you're coming in from the eastern part. Now, they're all on the north, as we said it's supposed to be. So it's going from east to west, these 10 tables. So according to his opinion, it makes sense, because Kulan Ruin Lashiris, all the 10 tables are fit to be used in the Avodah of the Shulchan. And that's because, as Tikkun Chatan explains, that this sugya will be here in the Yerushalmi and Shkolim, is going according to the its maskan is like the Havamina in the Bavli, as the Gemara has a similar sugya, Masechtas Menachas and Dav Tzadiches, which is that they had the order of these tables one after another, not side by side, but rather the 10 tables, if it's going from east to west or north to south, was one table after another in one row. Now, based on that, according to Rebbe's opinion that says they went from east to west, so it makes sense that you had all the 10 tables on the northern part of the Heichal. And that is, you had, if you have a table one after another, although you can't have really the 10 tables in 20 amas, because the Beis HaMikdash was 60 amas in its length. Now, there was the Kachi Kachim, which was 20 amas, which we're not discussing. And then there was 40 amas of the Heichal. But the Heichal itself was split into two halves, because we said that although the Shulchan was in the Tzafen, it was also in the second half, which is the middle third, the middle 20 amas of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, although you can't really fit exactly 10 tables one after another, which were 20 amas in an exact area of 20 amas, but it's saying it wasn't exacting that it was totally in there, but basically it was they were all in the northern part, because we have these 20 tables which are 20 amas. The majority of it basically was in that middle third of the 20 amas, which was the second half of the 40 amas of the Heichal. So there they were, and therefore they were fit to be used because they were in the Tzafen and also in that area of the 20 amas of the middle part of the Beis HaMikdash. However, Mandam et Tzafen v'darim nimtza shulchan b'darim, according to the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, it comes out, if he says it went from north to south, it comes out that the tables were in the south, because the length of the 10 tables were 20 amas, if you put them one after another. And that's again how our sugin shkolm is going with. Now, the Heichal from north to south was only an exact 20 amas. If so, it comes out that five of the tables must have been in the south. Now, yet, as we mentioned before, the Torah is particular in saying that the Shulchanas have to be in the northern part of the Heichal. And therefore, Agmar concludes with a question of this opinion, and it wasn't concerned to go through all the different questions, as the Bavli brings many different questions, and to resolve it according to the Mount Amr to explain how it is possible, even if you hold it was from Tzafin Bedarim, to say that it wasn't at Tzafin, because since the halacha does not follow this opinion of Elazar Beir Shimon, because as we know, the halacha is like Rebbe when he argues on his chaver, and therefore Rebbe's opinion is Mizrach Meir, and also there's an anonymous Mishnah, Mesechtas Menachas, and of Tzadik Vav Manav, that holds like Rebbe, and since it's not the derech from the Yerushalmi to be Mayrich in different pilpulim, that's not according to the halacham, therefore the Gemara just concludes with a question and doesn't bother to say that there are resolutions for the opinion of Tzav and Darm, because anyways, the halacha is that it went from Mizr and Mayrich, it went from east to west, and there it's possible to have it all in the north, and even basically all in the middle 20 Amos of where the Shulchan was supposed to be.